This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number two, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are coming to you live, as you see the shot right now, or you just did, on ESPN Plus, coming to you live from the Seaport District, Pier 17, and we are brought to you by Chase. So let's go to the Goodyear Hotline, because Damian Woody is a good friend of the show, as you know, and he's on Get Up With You each week, as everybody knows when you watch the show. And Bart said something. Wood, hey, by the way, D. Wood, how you doing?
I'm well, man. How you doing?
Excellent. Great to talk to you. I'm glad the Islanders got their first win of the season. They desperately needed it. But meanwhile,
absolutely.
Bart said something on Get Up today that you guys were discussing, and I really want to get your take on it. And that is, he called Case Keenum Wally Pipp, saying that if he plays well enough, that it could start a narrative about Baker Mayfield and his maybe future with the Browns. Do you agree or disagree?
I think there is some validity to that. I've always said when it comes to Baker Mayfield, I think Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback. I don't think there's much dispute about that. I've always said when it comes to Baker Mayfield, he can't put a team on his back. You can win with him, but he's not going to elevate you. You know, he's not going to elevate the team. Because I said coming into the season, if Baker Mayfield wants to take the next step, he needs to have moments. There's going to come moments in games where your quarterback has to elevate beyond maybe what he is into another stratosphere. That's what Baker Mayfield has fallen short. That's what the elite quarterbacks are able to do. They're able to elevate to a whole nother level and put the team on their back. And so I think what Bart is talking about is the fact that, listen, Case Keenum, he's had flashes of like being a good quarterback, particularly in this system. So if he goes out there and wins, and we don't know how long Baker Mayfield is going to be out, if he goes out there and he looks good, that's only going to hurt Baker Mayfield as it relates to contract negotiations, because the team is going to look at it and say, well, wait a minute. Well, why should we be pouring all this money into Baker Mayfield when our backup quarterback is showing us that? What's really the difference between the two? Yeah, I think that's the danger Baker Mayfield runs into if Case Keenum goes out there and balls out.
Yeah, D. Wood, you never want to get hurt when it is contract time. And what I'm trying to say is, it's only been one white, short, slow, great player in the NFL in recent history. That's been Drew Brees. And what I think we were reminded of last week is that Baker's short, he's slow, and he doesn't have elite arm strength. So, like, you see all these magical moments of – and listen, Patrick Mahomes is not a great athlete either, but his arm talent is so special that it masks the fact that he's not out there like Willie Beamy with the invisible juice either, right? So, like, when you talk about it and you look at it in that terms, you're like, man, well, we're asking Baker Mayfield to kind of buck this trend and kind of be a unicorn, because Drew Brees is the only one that's been able to do that, but he had the perfect system, the perfect weapons, and he had the perfect football mind. We don't know if Baker has that, and the game has changed, and eventually we saw that how Drew Brees were trying to play wasn't good enough. Drew Brees couldn't push the ball down the field later in his age, and he started slowing down where he couldn't get the ball out of his hands fast enough. So what I'm saying is Baker Mayfield has to have a very real conversation with himself and his team. If he wants to continue
and you know what? Here's the thing when you look at Baker Mayfield. What is the unique quality that sets him apart? Like, you look at some of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. Okay, we can just rip off names.
I'll help you out. Josh
Lamar
Allen.
Jackson. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott,
Josh Allen, Herbert.
Josh Allen, Herbert. Those guys, when you watch them play, those guys are different. Like, it jumps off the screen like, we need to pay for that. Because those guys can literally put a team on their back and elevate the team. You can't say that about Baker, okay? Can you win with him? Yes, you can win with him. But when you're going against facing elite quarterbacks, at some point you're going to need your quarterback to make special plays in certain moments. And that's where I think Baker Mayfield falls short.
And that's what they call them. That's Mike T, the force multiplier, the guy that just makes you better, makes your franchise better, and is Baker that guy. Now, I will argue, the only thing I'll argue is this, is that the Browns have waited, you know, 30 years to find somebody that is at least good enough to be a QB1 for a long term. And to say, no, we're not quite sure yet, could end up resetting. We know how hard it is to find those quarterbacks. So I wonder if his value to them is bigger than his value on the open market. That's the only question. But the other question I have for you is, we're talking with Damian Woody on the Goodyear Hotline. D. Wood, if the Browns do lose this game tonight, I mean, anything's possible when you have no idea about either team and their starting quarterbacks, and the Browns are so banged up going into this game on a short week. If they lose this game to fall under 500, are their chances to win the AFC, is it over?
I hear Ross Bruce is saying,
I think it's going to be tough, man. I do. I think it's going to be tough. First of all, getting the number one seed is going to be so huge in either conference. Getting home field advantage, getting a bye week. That is such a big advantage, man, when it comes to the postseason. And so with each game that the Browns lose, you know, they're going to be a wild card team. And you got to go out there. Think about this. You got to go out there and win three games on the road. You know how hard that is to go out there and win three games on the road in the postseason? That's awfully tough, man. So, like I said, the more games that they lose, the less of a chance that they have of not only not winning their division, but the likelier chance of they're going to have to fight for a wild card spot, and you got to win three road games to get to Los Angeles. That's a long, hard task.
Yes. D-Wood, these next three games – man, they can be done. Like, because if they lose to the Broncos,
the Steelers.
The problem is the Steelers present something that's going to get them so much more of an issue.
And the problem is
they don't have any tackles. What do the Broncos and the Steelers have in common?
Pass rushers.
They got two edge pass rushers. So you don't have healthy receivers. You don't have a running game. So it has to be about your quarterback. But then the thing is, with Baker, his shoulder isn't going – that doesn't get healthier with rest. So anytime he starts falling on the ground and he says it slipped out without a non-contact, so that means that now his shoulder may just fall out from being hit or jolted. So what is he going to do? Protect himself, chuck and duck, just throw the ball up. So now as a defender, if I understand that that's the type of player that I'm going against, I'm jumping and flat-footing everything. Because I'm saying the ball has to come out. I'm sitting on everything. Because guess what? Even if I sit on, if I'm wrong and the guy gets past me, he can't make me pay because he ain't got no tackles that can hold up my pass rushers who are elite on the outside. So that means predictable three-man routes, right? Because that means they got to keep extra guys in for protection. So those great tight ends that they have are basically cones and extra tackles.
Blockers, right.
So I'm good with that. So that's what I'm saying. If they don't win this one, remember what they did and how disrespectful they were to the terrible Tiles last year. Mm. You don't think they had this one circled and they said we can give them the death blow?
Winning at Heinz
they
Field.
Can give them the Mortal Kombat, finish them. Like if they lose this week, because that'll give them five losses, which is eventually just kind of end their season.
Yeah, you got
because they ain't gonna beat the Packers,
and they've got the Bengals then after the Steelers. And D Wood, that leads me to my next question. This is another thing that Bart said. I guess we're gonna play the game of do you agree with Bart?
Did he say it?
But Bart also believes that there is an upset alert this week for his Ravens against the Bengals. Do you believe in Cincinnati?
Listen, yes, I do. I will say this. Number one, you know, we talk about Joe Burrow and those terrific receivers that they have, Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. But I'm gonna tell you another real difference with the Bengals. Their defense is playing better.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's watched the Bengals defense, you know, over the years has been bad. Not this year. This year, they have been playing defense. They're not elite, but they've been playing a lot better on the defensive side of the football. So people can dismiss the Bengals all they want, but when you got that quarterback, who I think is right on the cusp of being a superstar. Mm. I'm superstar.
Yeah. Already
and
the second
with
best
those
in the
weapons, I'm telling you, man, the Bengals, man, the Ravens better be ready. The Ravens better be ready because the Bengals got a lot of weapons to throw at them.
And then, Joe Mixon is what makes him elite because he's always been one of the – remember, for years it was him and Giovanni Bernard. The fact that he is a dual-threat type of running back, and he's running tough in between the into the blocks. And listen, you saw them last week when they won and they were inside of the in the locker room, Baltimore, right? So when you start bringing up somebody and you just beat somebody else, that means that this is like one of their rivalry games. The problem is in Baltimore, we look at them like the Bungles, and we look at them like little brother. But every once in a while, they creep up and they beat us because we overlooked them. Because, you know, and you're looking at them what they were. Remember, the Bengals a couple years ago kept the Ravens from going to the playoffs with a seam route from Tyler Boyd. Now you give Joe Burrow three good receivers and a running back. Now all of a sudden, this offensive line isn't as porous as it used to be. So I don't wish bad on my Ravens ever. But this is the type of game that could give them some difficulty. Because they're so – listen, the Ravens are struggling at the cornerback position. They can say all they want about Anthony Everett. But, man, he was barbecue chicken, man. That Monday Night Football, I was ready to throw in the towel. It got so damn bad, they put Jimmy Smith at
throw
corner.
The damn towel.
Jimmy Smith ain't played corner damn near 2 years. He can't run. He can't run a 40 in like 4.8 no more. And they was like, man, just go get him. Save him.
Well, here's what I will say. If the Bengals go out there and beat the Ravens, I think it's going to provide a whole new set of legitimacy to the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the Bengals, but you know they're not kind of a nationally recognized team, and they've been a team that's been down for so long. But they go out there and beat Baltimore. There's going to be a lot of eyes opening. Like, wait a minute now, do we need to start talking about the Cincinnati Bengals as one of the best teams in the AFC?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to be next in the conversation.
And you've got a hell of that 1-2 punch between Burrow and Chase. You can just see they've got a great connection. They've got a great relationship. And it is definitely something to watch for the future in that division. Hey, speaking of teams that haven't been good in a long time, both New York football teams are in action this weekend. The Giants at 1-5, the Jets at 1-4. Sam Darnold and Carolina come into MetLife Stadium to play the Giants team that just, it's one embarrassment after another. I mean, last week, just terribly embarrassing. And then the Jets play the Patriots for the second time. Any hope for either of these two teams, or the season's over right now in New York?
Well, listen, let me start with the Jets first. I think here's what I think about the Jets. I think this team is different from the first time that they played. And listen, the first time they played, you know, the story was Zach Wilson and the four interceptions. There's no question. When you watch the game, the Jets actually played pretty well. They ran the ball for like 152 yards. The defense played well. When you turn the ball over four times, you're not going to win a football game. That's the bottom line. Question is, coming out of the bye week, guys are a little bit healthier, fresh. Mm. Hopefully they did some self-scout on offense. If the quarterback can go out there and don't turn the ball over and make the simple throws that quarterback's supposed to make in this league, New England is ripe to be had. Because let me tell you something. New England's defense, which was supposed to be a strength, that's not them. Their defense is not like that. Okay? And then Mac Jones is playing well, but he's not pushing the ball down the field. They got questions on the offensive line. All these weapons that they signed in free agency, they're on the back of a milk carton. So, listen. New England is 2-4. Great Bill Parcells used to say what? You are what your record says you are. So
I haven't won at home yet either.
They're 0-4 at home. Think about it.
Right.
The New England Patriots are 0-4 at home. That mystique is over with. So we'll see if the quarterback can, you know, not turn the ball over. If they don't do that, they'll have a shot. Now, as far as the Giants are concerned, man, listen, the Giants should be embarrassed, truly embarrassed by what's going on over there in East Rutherford, because they have too many weapons. And I know they got injuries. I understand all that. But they got utterly embarrassed by the Rams. I mean, utterly embarrassed by the Rams. You can't have that. And the problem with the Giants is when you got this, you know, quote-unquote tough-nosed coach and Joe Judge who wants to, you know, be this type of guy, well, guess what? When you don't win, people tune you out. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear all this macho bravado, you know, BS. If it's not paying off on the field, Bart, you know this. You know that's just how it is, man, in the locker room. So if they don't get, if they don't start showing some on the field, there's going to be a lot of people in trouble within that organization.
Yeah, that's selling wolf tickets, man. You look at that defense, 27th in the league. Leonard Williams hasn't shown up this year. Bradbury hasn't shown up this year. They're guys that they played. They have enough talent. They just, I don't know why you can't get more out of that group. Peppers is saying, hey, I don't know if I want to be here. He should look like he's trying to get traded. You know what I mean? Like, try to go for
But doesn't that tell you something? Again, when players aren't responding, it's a couple – and especially because they did respond last year. Defense was actually pretty good last year. Mm-hmm. When they're not responding, it makes you wonder something else is going on. And maybe it's what you said, D. Wood, that, you know what, the results aren't happening. I don't know how much I believe in this guy, you know, game to game. And now all this noise, I don't want to put up with that either. And if the players aren't buying in, then it is obviously time to sell once again. D. Wood, always great to talk to you, my man. Thanks so much.
I appreciate you guys, man.
All right, Damian Woody on the Goodyear Hotline. Always great to talk with him. And he's right about both New York teams. I mean, it's this might be the last interesting game for the Jets this season because it is the Patriots one more time. And if you beat them, you're actually at the same record as them. Yeah. But the reality is all you're just watching is to see, can the kid just get better by the end of the year so you can believe in whatever's going to happen for next season, which you kind of feel like you're already playing for next season. Yeah. Meanwhile, Bart, I want to ask you a question. So there's, as we know, there's, let's see, how many? It's six teams that are either 6-0 or 5-1, right?
Yep.
One of them is not playing this weekend. That's Dallas. So we take them out of the equation. You did already mention that Baltimore, one of the 5-1 teams, is one of those upset alert kind of games against Cincinnati. Are there any others that you see? Now, I've got a couple here that I'll give you, and some of them feel like no.
It's the obvious.
Arizona against the Texans. Not worried about Arizona, right?
The obvious one is looking at me right in my face, smacking me right in my
state. You already said Baltimore, Cincinnati.
Right in my State Farm face.
Oh, you got an – oh, really? What?
Not that State Farm. The other State Farm. Remember, it's more State Farm representatives.
I can't keep up. But we are a progressive show, so I don't really pay attention to State Farm.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tennessee and Kansas City. You talk about King Henry and that poor defense that gives up 130 yards already on the ground. That's what Kansas City gives up to regular people. What are they going to do when this mutant Thanos comes into town?
Can you pause for a second? Okay. You're missing a little point here.
Okay.
5-1 or 6-0 or 5-1.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
When I was talking about upsets.
Oh.
I was talking about just the teams that are like either 6-0 or 5-1. There's only six of them.
Oh, okay.
Now there's five because we took Dallas out of the equation. Now there's four left because you've already told us about Baltimore. So I'll give you the others and you tell me. Ready?
Okay.
So Arizona Texans. No.
No,
right?
No.
Okay. Rams and your Detroit Lions.
Come on, man.
All right, yeah, no. But you know that's a big game, though. It's an emotional game. Goff just got called out.
Goff going to cry. Take me back. I'll be a backup. Take me back. I just want to be in L.A.
I'll be better.
And smoke my Scooby snacks.
You keep putting that out there.
He's a doobie.
All right, so you're not buying that. The Packers and the Washington football team.
Oh, man. Okay. No bueno.
And then the last one would be the Bucks and the Bears.
The Bears. I don't know about that. You know,
how would you feel if you just played? You just played a legendary quarterback who told you and your fan base, "I own you." Now you're playing another legendary quarterback in that locker room. I know he was saying it to the fans, but is that even discussed in the locker room? Hearing Rodgers say that, hearing Brady make fun of it.
Yeah,
if you're Khalil Mack or anybody on that defense, are any of you talking about? Or are you just like, okay, you just made a face.
All right, let's not poke the goat because he's gonna say, if he's your daddy, I'm his daddy. So what you think I'm going to do to y'all? I'm his daddy.
Oh, man. Jake the Snake telling us the Bucks are 12.5-point favorites in this game.
Very disrespectful. But this is the thing, though. Antonio Brown has
Tampa,
a hurt.
In Tampa, by the way.
Antonio Brown has a hurt ankle, right? Mm-hmm. So that changes a little bit. And they have no secondary help, man. They're trying to – I don't know where they're getting these people from to even play. Like, I mean, you look at Sherman. They got him off – the couch, and he back on
the couch. He's already back on
the couch. Right, he back on the couch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think for them to have a chance, listen, the defense for the Bears is solid. They could be able to compete and keep them in the game.
Just remember, Brady didn't know what down it was when he played the Bears the last time.
They're going to have to.
Right? That was the game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Fourth down.
That's right.
They're going to have to open it up with Justin Fields. They got to take the kid gloves off, and he has to push the ball down the field because you can't run against that team. They're the number one rush defense in the league. Mm. You ain't moving Vita, Beta, Sue, and all those guys. All right. David, you got to push the ball down the field, baby.
We shall see.
No risky.
All right, well, back to the calls. We will go at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. On the Knicks, and if we're overrating them after one game, because we never do that in New York, of course. And also on the Browns and Baker Mayfield, and when that he's not playing tonight, are you watching to see if Case Keenum looks better at quarterback than he has this season? But also coming up for months, Aaron Rodgers has wanted out of Green Bay, but now he's seeing visions. And what are those visions? Another Super Bowl team coming together.
Hey,
what
Ms.
is
Cleo?
He saying?
Call me now,
yes.
Cleo.
Or Barstradamus. All that coming up next, Spartan Hot, ESPN Radio, and on ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
So, you know, well, all right. So I work here. This is my primary place of employment, ESPN. But you know where else I work, right?
At the Mecca.
That's right. Madison Square Garden Network. And we broadcast like Mike Breen. Doris Burke has been
Bang!
There as well. Monica McNutt, you see her on ESPN as well. She's
Bang!
There. And Bill Pito, who used to be a big star at ESPN, he works there too. And we do the pre and post and obviously the game broadcast. And this is one of the special theme songs.
Bang!
Of MSG Networks of Nick Games. So any Nick fan hears that and it's like hearing the NBC one, like the NBA and NBC
one. It's like, here's
one.
Your like people's said, coming. Here comes
know.
Husky Eyes.
If you hear that and you know, that's right.
Here comes King Husky.
Oof. Like, you know what's coming. And you know what, Bart? It's 1:30. So when people listen to our show, they also know what's coming at 1:30. And what would that be?
Audio files.
The audio file.
You're really going to have to move the gong. Because that time
I was trying to hold it to make you reach out.
I felt I had a subluxation.
Yeah, man.
It really felt like a
like
subluxation.
Baker Mayfield over in his thing.
Oof. All right. But we now are rolling on in audio files. I know I have something to say here, which is we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles. Well done. Helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. We begin, as we were talking about, the new owner of the Chicago Bears, Aaron Rodgers, he really, all of a sudden, has changed his tune about what he sees in Green Bay. Remember how he just didn't feel good about the franchise? These are good people, but there's just things he didn't agree with, and the feeling is he's not going to be there for long. But listen to how he describes what he sees in the team he has right now on the field.
This season is beginning to remind me a little bit of a season over a decade ago where we've had a number of injuries. And in the course of the season, added certain pieces to the mix that ended up playing a big role down the line. I think you guys can imagine what season I'm talking about, which is a good thing.
What season is he talking about, Bart Scott? Well, I think we know. That would be the Super Bowl season.
Guess what? 2010. I played him that season, too. And I don't know if Whitley, Merciless, and...
Who they just added.
And Jason Smith, Jalen Smith... would be the equivalent of what they added then, which is Big Howard, by Howard Green, and they stole us. I told you how they got Howard Green. Rex told him to lose 12 pounds during the bye week. And he told him to lose weight during the bye week, and he came back 12 pounds heavier in 1 week. He's like, I got to cut you, Howard. Like, I brought you, I told you you need to lose weight. You gained 12 pounds. That's a smack in my face. And then Big Howard came and plugged it up. He was like that speed bump for the run game. So they loved him here, eating all them cheese curds.
They used his extra weight to their advantage.
Yeah, exactly. They had a steady game. Yeah, they had a game for his
What do you think of that? What do you think of Aaron Rodgers? Do you feel like he's like loves just teasing people and just floating out all these things to get us to talk about? He's become a master. You know what? He's one of the best content creators we have in the world right now, isn't he?
Yes. If Pat McAfee don't give him part of his Emmy or Woody or whatever they get for whatever he's doing, doing this podcast award or something like that. Listen, we wouldn't know what Aaron Rodgers really feels if it wasn't for the Pat McAfee show. We say Pat McAfee show at least 5 times on here. And we ain't never talked about nothing about Pat McAfee show if it didn't involve Aaron Rodgers.
That's true. But hey, it's good for business. That's all that matters. All right, moving on to audio files. Barton Hunt, Alan Hunt, Bart Scott. So as you were talking about, you have the upset alert right now. You have the alarm bells ringing in Baltimore for their matchup with the Cincinnati Bengals. And Lamar Jackson is here to tell you, we don't overlook anybody.
You can't overlook nobody in the NFL, no team in the NFL. That's just you doing that. You might as well don't even play football. You know, these grown men, these guys trying to feed their family. And it's any given Sunday. You know, you can be a team can be 0-15 and then they play you. They might play their hearts out and come out with a W. So you can't just go into a game overthinking or overlooking any team.
I love it. We got the any given Sunday cliche out of Lamar there.
We claw with our fingernails.
Anyone can get got. That's the great Bart Scott one.
Guns and butter. So, hey, that's baby boy, though.
So, are you, but you still are worried about this game?
I'm just worried about it. The only thing that gives me a little peace is the fact that they're playing at Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Baltimore, that's one of the toughest places to play. And it's still October. I don't believe that Lamar Jackson has ever lost a game in a month.
He has not.
October.
No.
So that's the only thing that gives me, like, pause. But I am a little
concerned. But that means he's due.
Yeah. So, I mean, after how they came out so flat against Indianapolis, I just don't know, man. Joe Burrow is special. He's not Carson Wentz on that other sideline. He's not Ryan Tannehill. That's a real player right there.
All right, moving on in audio files, we go to the NBA where we had 11 games last night, and one of them is a team that has been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. That is the Philadelphia 76ers. No Ben Simmons on the trip to New Orleans to play the Pelicans in their season opener, but they had Joel Embiid, and really that's all that matters. He went for 22 points. He had 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block in 26 minutes. Didn't need to play a lot in a game that they controlled from the outset. They were a dominant team, and as expected, against the Pelicans, who did not have Zion Williamson. And so for Embiid, you know what was nice? Not having to talk about a guy who doesn't want to play and just playing.
It's never been any doubt for me. The main thing, you know, I've been preaching is just go out there and have fun. And, you know, by having fun is, you know, sharing the ball, playing with each other. Like I said, in practice, you know, our attitude has been the same. You know, we've been practicing hard, and same way we play today, that's what we've been doing in practice. It was good to kind of get off to a good start, you know, get a win and kind of forget about, you know, the off-the-court stuff. Like I said, it's not our job. Our job is to win.
And they won. And now what will be interesting, Bart, is that Friday night on ESPN, the Sixers have their home opener against the Brooklyn Nets. Now, Doc Rivers said the plan is they come home. They came back after the game. They were going to practice today, and Ben Simmons is expected to practice today. Does that mean he is expected to play? Man. And if he does, how? Like Doris Burke told this story you heard on Get Up. In Philadelphia, where the Flyers were playing last night, there were chants and boos about Ben Simmons in a hockey game.
Man, he is taking out real estate in their mind.
Even if they said you have to play tonight, I mean, you better put a towel over your head and on the. I mean, they will.
They might throw popcorn and soda at you on the way out.
It will be merciless.
It's crazy, man. Because when you think about it, I want to know, like, if Doc's going to say, "Hey, you starting a drill off today since you didn't give it to us last year, Ben? Can you do it? Like, you got any cell phones? Go home."
Right, I'm all set. Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to find you again. That's a lot of money he's been losing.
Take him out the game.
So it'll be interesting, though. But again, if he's in the lineup, he had to sit on the bench. Does he play? It's a home game. I mean, there's just a lot of things to watch. And that is Friday night against the Nets, who won't have Kyrie, on ESPN. All right, that's Audio Files brought to you by Goodyear. With you every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. We do have time for one call, and I do want to take this one because it's John in Massachusetts. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's going on, guys, man? I called the other day talking about the Pats, man. Hey, my bad. I caught the Holy Spirit like you do, Bart, man, when I get ranting about them. But I want to talk about these Knicks, man. Look, what's different from last year, and Han, you can see this, man. Trae Young, all he did was stand around and kind of hug on Bullock's shorts the whole time. Bullock never put any real pressure on him to have to guard.
Right.
Looking at last night, yeah, we lose a little bit of shooting with Fournier. I get it, but I could totally see this being a different team because that backcourt, there's no easy out. Trae Young would have to guard, and you've seen what they were calling last night. They didn't give Fournier those little flop calls, you know, where you stop short in front of the guy,
yes,
take a three-pointer, and throw yourself on the ground.
Yeah, I'm curious
to
see that.
It could be a whole different series.
I am definitely curious to see how Trae Young adjusts to that they're not calling a lot of those fender-bender kind of fouls. But John makes a great point. It's again, in that series, as those who might remember, when the Hawks beat the Knicks in five, Nate McMillan did a great job hiding Trae Young on defense. He would literally just have him guard the non-offense player, and usually that was Reggie Bullock. Reggie Bullock was a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. He wasn't a guy that ran around a lot. He definitely didn't create for himself. Right? He doesn't run you off screens. So a lot of times you would just see Trae would hide, and then he would help D. Well, you can't really do that now because Fournier runs around a lot. Kemba runs people off screens. Who's he going to guard? R.J. Barrett is just bigger than him. So it does change the look of this team, and it'll be real curious when they do meet up. And I'm trying to think it. Oh, Christmas Day. Christmas Day on ESPN. Trae Young at the Garden against the Knicks. So
Trigger.
That'll be very interesting. All right, we'll keep the calls rolling. But coming up, the Dodgers, Keyshawn Johnson's Dodgers, are on the brink of elimination. And the game is tonight. And what you saw last night was pretty special. We have to discuss what we saw in the world of baseball, of course, because that's a big part of it. They are in the playoffs, and that is coming up next. Because where the Dodgers are right now, I don't think many of us saw that coming. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Welcome back, Bart and Han. ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. So, Bart, as the new NBA season begins, we always like, you know, the NBA is putting together top 75 all time for the 75th anniversary. So people are arguing about who should be on that
Isaiah
list.
Isaiah just got on the list. He better have been on
of
that
course.
List.
Well, yeah. Chris I mean, Paul. If you're a Hall of Famer, you should be on that
Chris
list.
Chris Paul, congrats.
So what we always like to look at, not just from the past, but how about the future? So let's do this. Let's make a list of the – and we did this last year, and it was fun. And it, of course, there's always room for debate. The top 10 NBA players under the age of 25. So with that in mind, Jaylen Brown, who will be 25 in just a couple of days, we're going to take him out of the equation, even though he went for 46 last night at the Garden in the season opener. He's a tremendous player, but because he's – you know, he'd only be on the list for about three more days, let's just say – let's take him off the list, right? So I think the obvious ones are Luka Doncic, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, Trae Young, Jamal Murray, Zion, right?
Ja
Morant, LaMelo Ball, who was just amazing.
Is LaMelo really? Okay.
I mean, come on. All right. You know, like
you just said his name real early.
So that's, let me see. Is that, how many did I just give you?
RJ Barrett? You got RJ Barrett for you?
I gave you nine. So there's one more out of this group. Is RJ Barrett somebody you would put in the top 10?
No.
Is DeAndre Ayton somebody you would put in the top 10?
Yeah, definitely. So that means LaMelo got to come off the list. He's only done it for less.
Doesn't matter. He's under 25. The only thing is under 25. That's all you need to. That matters.
But the thing is, he's done it
rookie
less.
Rookie of the year. So, tremendous player.
That's rookie year. But if you got to take somebody off, the guy that's did it the least amount of time as far as his resume, you got to take off.
Why?
Because I'd rather put De'Aaron Fox on.
Well, you've been making a case for De'Aaron Fox like since we started this conversation. I will take LaMelo Ball over De'Aaron Fox.
Over De'Aaron Fox. I would not.
Why wouldn't you?
Because I think he's a better shooter. I think he's a better. He may not be a better facilitator. But this dude is box office. Anytime you average 25 points in the West, that's doing something.
Michael Porter Jr., the guy who just got paid, who is a tremendous player, right? Is another name that you'd have to put on that list, right?
He's 75. His back 29.
Yeah, he hasn't had those issues, thankfully, in a while. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now, again, here's the other thing, too. When you talk about these players, you know, winning does matter, too. And not all of them have done much winning. I mean, Zion hasn't done any winning, right? And I mean, as much as we've seen from Zion, we've also seen him get hurt. We've seen conditioning issues. Is Zion that much of a given on this list right now?
No.
Would you definitely take Zion? With all the things you know about him physically, would you say, I definitely am taking Zion over, like, again,
the people that's the
Fox or
– Well, Gilchrist is box office too, man.
Gilchrist. Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah,
Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah.
He's box office, too. I mean, I think I take Ayton off, too, because I don't know if Ayton could be unlocked if Chris Paul ain't his point guard.
We only have space for one. Unless we take off Zion, then that's two.
Yeah, Zion can go.
Zion could go. You're not ready to put him on that list
I just
yet?
I don't trust his cholesterol levels.
But I still think trust is a fair point to bring up here. Zion's a great player when healthy, but already, you know, 3 years into the league, I don't know if we could trust that with him.
Lifestyle, man.
And everybody else I've named here, their availability is the most important part. Jamal Murray will be coming back from injury, and that injury really was the one that set him back the most. But when he was playing for Denver, they were winning. Zion has yet to lead his team to any kind of winning.
They expanded the playoffs for Zion. He still can't get it in.
Tell us what you think at Bart and Han. More coming up next. So that's Robert Randolph. Used to be a Friday Night Knicks thing, which won Emmys like left and right, by the way, Bart Scott.
Everybody got an Emmy. You got three of them, right?
I got four of them. I'm nominated for another one, by the way.
Ah.
Yeah. A writing one this time around. Thank you. We'll see if it wins. I mean, it would be nice, but I'm not going to jinx anything.
Are you like Drake? You just give yours away? Like, I don't worry.
No, I stack them up, man. I didn't do much winning in my life, so I'll take all I can get.
You replace your ninth place trophies with your Emmys?
Something like that. Hey, so Major League Baseball are in their LCS on both sides, the American League and the National League, and we had a couple of blowouts. And, you know, those aren't fun to watch, but however, it is bringing us closer now to a World Series. So the Astros on the road, so no, you know, concerns about banging garbage cans or anything like that. They had a huge sixth inning, and they took a 3-2 series lead over the Red Sox with a 9-1 win.
What's up with Sale, man? He's supposed to be the ace. Yeah, he came back from the elbow surgery. Now he's just serving up these little hanging sliders and all that stuff.
Yeah, he pitched five innings, though. He did give up four runs, but two of them earned seven strikeouts. But Valdez, this is the story. So Valdez had – now, you never see this anymore for the Astros. Is he went eight innings. They didn't have to use their bullpen. And
they didn't have to use their bullpen.
But think about it.
What does the analytics say?
Well, that's what I mean. In a series where, I mean, especially in the baseball today, they're just wearing out their bullpen. That's what everybody does. The Astros needed their starter to give them innings, and he did. And he pitched tremendous. One run, five strikeouts. And the one run was just a home run. And five strikeouts, just one walk, clean game, just three hits. But I love this story, and this kind of – I will tip my cap to you because you and I argued about the whole manager thing, right, and the manager's role in today's baseball and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the old school guys like a Dusty Baker and how they manage from the gut. They just know what to do, having guys like that, are critical to a team's success.
One or two decisions a game could change the outcome.
Yes. So I love this story that I saw that – so Valdez was struggling somewhere in the middle, I think maybe the fifth inning. And, you know, he didn't have a good game one, so they needed innings from him. They weren't going to take him out. They had to get length from him. And so he was in the midst of a tough inning. And instead of the pitching coach going out, Dusty came out. Now, usually when the manager comes out, it's...
Give me the ball.
Right. It's pointing to the bullpen.
Give me Vaughn.
But that didn't happen. Dusty goes out to the mound, says nothing.
He didn't even say nothing?
Says nothing. You know, just got the toothpick in his mouth.
It's just like Digstown where he's like, go to the ring, look at him, and walk out.
Right. So he just takes up the whatever time he needs. The umpire comes out, cleans it, and then he goes back to the dugout. So after the game, it's like, well, you know, and then if he pitches magnificently and finishes the game and they get the win. And so it's like, well, what'd you say to him? He said, I didn't do anything. He just needed a timeout. And it's like in basketball where, you know, there's pressure or your team just needs to get, you know, get refocused. It's like taking a 20. I took a 20-second timeout, but that's the way you do it in baseball. And that is not strategy. That's not analytics. That is just understanding, knowing your players, knowing the situation, and just knowing how to use the game to your advantage. And that's what he did. He literally called the timeout to settle his team down, meaning his pitcher, and he got the most out of him. And you just rarely see a starter these days go eight innings in a playoff game, and that's what he did, and that's what has the Astros, along, of course, with nine runs, one game away from the World Series.
It's the mental aspect of the game, right? And who would know better what reaction guys have than a manager that's around him every day, not some dude up there that doesn't spend time around these guys in a clubhouse. You know, so you talk about he knew that if he just went out there and didn't say anything to him or didn't question anything, didn't try and tell him to correct anything, that he would be like, oh, man. Because when he walked out there, he thought he was getting the ball taken away from him too. He's like, nah. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I believe in you. Your team needs you. Get it done.
Meanwhile.
He said all that with saying nothing.
Nothing. Right. He just understood it was time. Meanwhile, on the other side of things, you have the Atlanta Braves, and they get their win as well. Remember, they were up
2-0.
They were up 2-0 on some walk-offs, and then the Dodgers have a dramatic win for Game 3 to stay alive. But then, right back again, 9-2 win. You're right, Rosario going yard twice in this game. And now the Dodgers, the defending champs, sit on the brink of elimination, down 3-1. Here's Dave Roberts.
You never want to have your back against the wall. That's not how you draw it up. But it's a very, we have a very resilient team, a very tough team, and it's not going to get much tougher than facing Max Fried in an elimination game, but we've done it before. Like I said, you know, we got to win tomorrow, and I really believe we're equipped to win tomorrow's ball game.
Well, we'll see. The Road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So coming up, yes, the Knicks are back. Stephen A. Smith putting his money where his mouth is regarding their season outlook. We'll discuss next. Goodbye, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.